Good morning. It's good to see the beautiful smiling faces here. And what a joy it is to be in God's house. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Proverbs, the 16th chapter, verses 3 and 4. And when you get there, I'd like to ask you to stand. Proverbs chapter 16, verses 3 and 4. Today I'm talking about remaining committed. Commit your works to the Lord, and your thoughts will be established. The Lord has made all for Himself, yes, even the wicked, for the day of doom. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for the reading of Your Word. And God, our prayer today is, Lord, that You will help each and every one of us to be committed, that we will walk in the calling that You've called each of us to be. And Lord God, that You will strengthen us each day, Father. Help us, God, to show Your love to every person that we meet, and help us to be a witness wherever we're at. And God, I ask today, Lord, that You will speak through me, Father. Let every word come from Your Holy Spirit and nothing from my own thoughts or my flesh. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Commitment is one of the words that most people would like to remove from their dictionaries. Let's go a step further to say that most people would like to remove it from their lifestyle. God's Word teaches that we should be committed in everything that we do. Now, the reason I'm preaching this sermon today, it really makes me think long and hard about what Jesus did for us, what God did for us. God provided a way for us to get to heaven, and that was by sending His Son Jesus to die on the cross. And I want to point out to you that Jesus Christ, He was committed. And in what way was He committed? Well, the Father had a plan. And Jesus was so committed that He carried out His Father's plan. He was so committed to us, to you and I, that He was beaten. He took every mark upon His back and body. They placed a crown of thorn upon His heads. And He carried His own cross. And He carried that cross up onto Calvary's Hill in the weakened state that He was in, still committed. They laid that cross on the ground and drove three spikes, one through each wrist and one through both of His feet. And then they raised that cross and dropped it into a hole. And Jesus stayed on that cross until the moment He said, "Father, into Thy hands I commit my spirit." Now that's what I talk about commitment. Somebody who would leave the glory of heaven, who had it perfect, someone who was immortal, who became mortal for us. He was somebody that had all the kingdom of heaven, but He chose to come to this earth to live a life and to be crucified for you and I. And Jesus never strayed one minute from what the Father wanted Him to do. He could have called 10,000 angels to have rescued Him from the cross. He didn't have to die, but because of His love for you and I, He stayed committed to the very end. And Jesus is still committed to you and I today because Jesus says that He is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. And I want to tell you today that in my life and things that I have been through, Jesus has proved Himself truthful every time. He has been the friend that has stuck closer than any brother. Through some of the darkest hours of my life, He has been there to be the light. When I was in the valley, He was the lily of the valley. He was my bright and morning star. He's the one that has given me love that nobody else could give unto me. I mean, my My parents gave me some love growing up, but it doesn't match to the love that the Father has for me. So in that, I want to look at today how you and I should be committed to God, and we should remain in that commitment to the very end. We should be committed to God because of salvation. Giving ourselves to God by faith, making a new commitment, and having a new way of life. Everybody's been there. We've all been to the place where we knew we needed a Savior. We knew that our life was wandering aimless. We had no hope. And Jesus had worked upon our hearts. He called our names. And finally, the day came that we responded to the Lord. And by faith, we were saved. Not by our works. The Bible says that. It's not by works, lest any man should boast. But we are saved by faith. By faith means that we are trusting God with our very life, and He is also trusting us that we're making this commitment to Him, that we will walk with Him, that we will be obedient to Him in every area of life. I say this a lot when I preach, and some people said, "Well, Brother Jim, why do you always, tell us we need to read the Bible?" Because we need the reminder every Sunday that this is the way to live. This is God's Word. This Word is powerful. This Word is life-giving. This Word has been true for so many years. And every time I read this Word, it speaks to my heart and my life. And every time that I read it, I am strengthened. I am lifted up. I am energized in my spirit, and I am driven by the purpose that God has given me to live my life for Him. The things I love about this Word is that when I'm down and going through the hard times, I can go and read the Psalms, and I can read what David went through. And when I read what David went through, boy, and I told you last Sunday, David was here. Sometimes David was here, then David was back in the valley. David seemed to be down in the mouth, and then he'd be praising God again. How many times do you and I go through that in our life? We will go through struggles, and when we go through a struggle, guess who's there waiting on us? The devil. Now, the devil's not going to go after your strong point. The devil's going to look upon your life, and he's going to see the areas where you are the weakest. And that's where he's going to attack. So that's why if we get into this Word and if we study it daily and we meditate upon it, it will strengthen us. Now, you folks know that a bodybuilder, he doesn't go to the gym one time and lift weights and then remain strong for the rest of his life, does he? No. What does the weightlifter have to do? The weightlifter has to go to the gym multiple times each week. He's got to eat right. He's got to take his Fred Flintstone vitamins or whatever vitamins he takes. He's got to stay active and lift those weights to remain strong his entire life. And in the same way in our Christian walk, we have got to stay in the Word. We've got to study it and take it in. We have got to learn to get on our knees, sometimes get on our faces before God, and stay in constant prayer and communication with the Lord. And then we have got to learn how to stand and walk through the things that we face in this world. When we make a commitment to God, we're saying to God, "Whatever you bring my way, I'm willing to walk it. I'm willing to face it, Lord, because I know that you are with me." Jesus said that he would never leave us and he would never forsake us. And if he's making that kind of a commitment to me, then I in turn should make that commitment to him. He has given me a brand new life. He turned everything completely around. Now, I've told you, folks knew me from way back when. I would never stand in front of a crowd of people and speak. I didn't know how to preach. And when I surrendered to the ministry and I told God, okay, I'll do it. David Hancock, he called me that night and said, I'm sick. I can't preach tomorrow. Can you preach for me? And I was scared to death. And oh, I couldn't wait for church to get over. I was not looking forward to getting into that pulpit. And now, every Sunday that I get into the pulpit and preach God's Word, I look forward to speaking what the Lord has laid on my heart. He has given me a new outlook on life. So I don't look at things the way I used to. See, things to me used to be gray and kind of black. Life was ho-hum. Life didn't have any meaning. But when Jesus came into my heart and my life, He changed everything about me. He gave me a brand new path to walk. When you look at Saul was a man who murdered Christian people. He breathed and lived and slept to murder Christians. He hated them so bad. And on the road to Damascus, Saul had an encounter with God. And God asked Saul, why do you persecute against me so much? Well, you know the rest of the story. Saul's eyes were covered with scales, and his heart had been turned from a stony, hard heart, and God had given him a brand new heart, a brand new life, and Saul became Paul, and we know that Paul faced some major persecutions. And we know that Paul went through stuff, but you know what Paul did? He had made a commitment to God to walk with Him, and Paul remained until his very last breath on the face of this earth. So what I'm saying to you today is there is no greater life than living for the Lord. There really isn't. I mean, God has opened up so much to me. Before, my circle of friends was very small because I just didn't communicate to people. I didn't like to really hang around nobody. And now I got this circle of friends and family members all over that everywhere I go, I feel like Elvis Presley having to be rushed out of it. When I go to Walmart, I see 35 people I know. And I got to hit the back aisles to get what I'm getting to get out. If not, it becomes a revival camp meeting sometimes. But I'm thankful for what God has done in my life. And by serving Him, my life gets sweeter every day. And if Paul and Peter and Timothy and James, if all those disciples could be here right now to tell you what their life was like with Christ, I guarantee you they didn't have it easy because they walked with Jesus. They walked in physical form with Jesus, and yet they still doubted, yet they still went through difficult times, but they stayed committed. Because Jesus told them that He would make them fishers of men, meaning He would send them out to do a duty, to be a witness, to lead others to Christ. And that's exactly what you and I are supposed to be doing today. God doesn't want us living down here where the devil wants us to be. God wants us to live up here where He's at. God wants us to live for Him in the Spirit. God wants us to live in love. God wants us to live in joy. God wants us to live in peace. And you can only have that if you are in constant communication with Him. That's the only way you're going to have it. You cannot say, Lord, I will live my life for You and then go out and live with the devil the rest of the week. You can't live for God on Sunday and live for Satan during the week. You can't be in a relationship with Jesus and date the devil at the same time. It don't work that way. And you know, this is my opinion, but I don't think anybody's going to get to heaven who lives a life that way. When you say that you are committed to God, you are 100%. Now, we're going to go through hard times, but what did Jesus say about us going through difficult times? He would be there with us through each and every one of them. And I'm telling you, I've been there. I've been at some low points in my life. I didn't know if I'd make it. I didn't know what the outcome would be. But you know what I've learned? And there's been so many times too that in anger I turned and told God, I'm done with you. If this is what you meant for me, I don't want it. Well, it's because I wasn't spending time in this Word. But the more I've read this Word, the more times I've spent with the Lord, I still got a lot of working on to do. I'm not perfect. I've got a lot of wrinkles to get ironed out in my life. But for me, it's a new journey each day. I'm excited for what God has waiting for me when I leave the house. Who is He going to bring into my path? Is it going to be somebody that I get to lead to Jesus? I think I told you a story about a lady who was dying. She had a disease. And I went to the hospital, and this woman had dementia real bad. And I was going to go to the hospital one day. I had it in my mind, I'm going to go do this. The Lord said, no, I don't want you going. And I went back the next day, and I was sitting in the church office, and God said, today I want you to go see that woman. So I drove over to Harrisburg Medical Center. I walked into this lady's room, and she was laying in the bed, and I stepped in. I said her first name. I was going to leave because her eyes were closed. The devil said, why don't you go ahead and leave right now? Because she's asleep. Don't bother her. And I felt the Lord say, I sent you, go in there. So I went in there. I said her name. She woke up, and we started talking. I knew this woman had dementia because her daughter had told me this. And her daughter also told me, she said, you better be careful because mom can have a fit. And she'll throw a bedpan or something at you. Said she's can be mean. I thought, wow, I better watch out for flying bedpans. But anyway, as we talked, I had prayed on the way there. But as her and I talked, I just started noticing a peace in the room. And after we talked for a while, I finally asked her, I said, wouldn't you like to have a life like what we've talked about today? Wouldn't you like to know Jesus as your Lord and Savior? And she said, you know, I would. I said, well, let's pray together. So we prayed, and she prayed word for word. And when we got done, oh, let me back up a second. Right when I asked her, she closed her eyes and pursed her lips together. And that's what her daughter told me she would do when she got mad. And then I started backing for the door in case that bedpan come flying. But when she opened her eyes back up, that's when she said, yes, I want that. So I prayed with her. When we got done praying, she had a smile as big as Texas on her face. And I said to her, I said, now Helen, you are going to heaven now. And she smiled so big. And we talked a little bit more. And she told me, my daughter's going to be so happy. I said, yes, she will. Well, the next day I thought, I'm going to take this Bible and I'm going to go to the hospital and go see her again and just talk to her. So I went to the hospital. You know what I found? I found that the dementia had kicked back in and she had checked out. See, this is what I'm talking about, being committed to God. Because when you're committed to God, God can go into any situation and He can turn it around. Even a woman who had dementia, she still got saved, and when she died, she went to heaven. And that's where she's at today. Sacrifice. It's our time, our talent, and given to God. See, we can bring so much into our lives. We got a lot of time, don't we? Well, we got 24 hours in a day. How do we spend that time? What are we focusing on each day? Do we focus on the bills, what's going on in the news, what happened yesterday or in the past, who said what about us or what we think of ourselves? What do we do with our time? Are we using our time wisely? God's will is that we'll spend a lot of time with Him in fellowship. Because see, when you spend that time in fellowship with God, you forget about everything else that's going on around you in this world. I don't watch the news because of the garbage. There is so much filth and garbage. I tell people the leading causes of depression are Fox, CNN, C-SPAN, and all that other junk. And yet people can't wait to get home and turn on that TV instead of picking up that Bible. They spend their time dwelling on the things of the world. You and I can make a huge difference in this world if we'll turn to God first. See, we sometimes get to thinking that maybe we're not good enough. Maybe somebody told you you're not talented enough or whatever the case may be. Some point in church you may have been hurt and thought, well, I'm just going to give up and not do it anymore. But God has placed a talent in each and every one of us. I had no idea that mine would be preaching. I always wanted to be a state trooper. You know, my whole family has been police, and I started off as a policeman, and I hated it. I couldn't stand it. And back in 2014, I thought I'd go back to it, and I went and became a police officer again. And I think that all lasted four or five months, and I was still sick of it. I couldn't stand it. But God put a talent in my life that I didn't know was there till I got saved. And He put the talent in me to be able to reach out and communicate to people, to look at people's heart, not the outside, but to look at the heart, not their behavior or anything else. Because if I looked at people's behaviors, I wouldn't have any friends. I wouldn't be talking to nobody. But if I look at the heart, if I see them through the eyes of the Lord, then I'm going to see the purpose that God sees. I'm going to see the special person. I could see the Christian that God's already looking at. So God put a talent inside of me. God put a talent inside of you. Effie can play the piano. You know, Effie, I tried playing a piano. That was one thing. I wanted to play the piano so bad. And I had a good piano instructor. His name was Darren. And Darren taught at Bicey Keyboard. Well, everything went great, man. I could learn that right-handed stuff good. I mean, I going through them keys, and then I went into music lesson one day, and Darren says, all right, we're going to bring the left hand into this. And I thought, oh, no, I'm in trouble now. See, I have a hard time walking and chewing gum and thinking all at the same time. And so when Darren sat down with me, boy, I had the hardest time getting the right hand and the left hand together. The other day I was coming out of Kroger and I saw Darren. First time I seen him in probably 30 some odd years. And Darren looked at me and he said, did you ever get the piano? Did you ever figure? No, I never did. Gave it up. That, you know, my career as Liberace is over, you know. So I started realizing, instead of chasing after what I wanted, I would say, Lord, what talents have you given me? That's what I need to focus on. I need to do what you call me to do. And God has showed me in my life how much talent I do have. Yeah, I'm funny looking. I've always been a comic type person. I enjoy making people laugh. But God's also given me the ability to reach folks, to sympathize, to cry with, to pray with, to love. And I do. I love people. I really do. So, like I said, people get under my skin sometimes. And that's what I'm working on each and every day. The Lord helped me to love more. And then giving. We should give. And you know, we got the offering plates up here. It's important to give to God. It's important to tithe and give to Him. And that's all I'm going to say about tithing. I don't like to really preach on tithing because we all should know to tithe and give to God what's due to Him each time. But what I'm talking about giving of yourself. See, Jesus gave himself. What about us? Are we willing to give? You know, I told you, I really, years ago, I wanted the big churches. Boy, I wanted them so bad. And when God put me in one, it just did not go. I was really let down and hurt. And God brought me here. And God, you know, I've been here, what, a year? And, well, a little over a year now. Been preaching here. And here's what I've seen. I have given of myself to the Lord, and I've given myself to you folks. And in return, I have been loved on. And I can't tell you what a great blessing that is. I can't tell you how much my faith has been restored, how much I have been strengthened, all because of what God's doing, because I chose to continue to give. I could have quit. I could have given up, said, Lord, I don't want this anymore. And I could have walked away from it. But the truth is, if I would have walked away, I would have been giving up everything that God's done for me. I would have turned my back on Him, and that wouldn't have been fair. So each day of my life, I want to give, and that's what you should be doing as well. Lord, what can I give you today? If you don't know what your talents or what your calling is, if you go to God in prayer, He's going to show you. I've seen people throughout all the years of some of the churches I've been in. I've seen people with talents. I've seen people who've given themselves to the Lord, and they did it with such a joy. They did it with such a compassion. They had a smile on their face, and they never complained about it. And that's what I love about God's people that are committed. Now, the last thing I want to talk about is being committed to your church. That's what's important. Now, I want to say this. I'm just going to get it out. Some of you may hate me or whatever. I don't know. I can't help that. But I'm here to preach the Word. But I believe that we should be in God's house every Sunday, regardless of anything. I mean, now, if you're sick, stay home. If you've got some creeping crud that's going to be spread around, yeah, go ahead and stay home. But if you're healthy and well, you shouldn't be sitting at the TV on Sunday morning catching in your favorite show when you could be in God's house. Because this is the greatest place to be on Sunday morning, right here. I told you a couple weeks ago about how I used to run home to go watch wrestling. I couldn't wait to watch wrestling. You know what I was missing out on? I was missing out on some of the greatest blessings, but I wasn't a Christian at the time. But it is so important that we be committed to God and attend church. Because by attending church, we're showing God that we are being faithful to Him. The Bible says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. And we should make it a point. And you know, some people go to church because of the preacher or a praise band or whatever, or how big the church is. Don't let that be your influence. Please don't let that be your influence. Your reason for going to church and where you go to church is where God is leading you to be. It doesn't matter if it's five people or 500 people. You know, I mean, I don't need a large praise band, you know, to kick off the service before I preach. I don't need that. You know what I need? I need the Lord moving in my heart and in my life. That's what I need to get up here and preach. I need the Holy Spirit to speak through me. So I look forward to being here every Sunday. I look forward to preaching. I look forward to the fellowship and the laughter. See, when I come to church, that's why I attend, because I get loved on here. I do. We enjoy good talks in the mornings before church starts, and the hugs and all that. And I love to hug. Man, do I love to hug. But the fellowship, there's nothing sweeter. And when I go home, I tell you, I sing and I praise the Lord as I leave here. And I just keep thinking, I can't wait till next Sunday. You know what, Effie? I can't wait till maybe we get to start having Bible study on Wednesday nights. Because you know what? It's important. Now, COVID took down a lot for a lot of churches. You know what I think it's time for? I think it's time for us as a church to be saying, God, we're committed. And we want to start doing more for you. So, this last verse, I'm going to read, then I'm going to close. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 9 and 10. For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereon. See, our foundation is Christ. If we build our church on Christ, the solid rock, our church will stand. This church has been here for many years. I'm sure it has endured a lot, but it has kept going, and the doors have never closed. I see a lot of churches right now that the doors are closed. You know why? Because the people said, we're done. We can't get along. We're just done. Or we're going to split and go somewhere else. Sad. If we choose Christ as our chief cornerstone and we build upon Him the firm foundation, the devil may come up against it, but it will always stand. So, in your life, are you remaining committed to God? Because I want to encourage you today to stay in your commitment. Walk in the walk that God's given you. Look at the disciples who remained faithful. Look at Peter. Peter was nailed on a cross upside down. He remained committed to the very end. Even when he turned his own back on Jesus and denied Him three times, the Lord still loved him. But Peter still remained committed. Wow. And they were just normal people like you and I. If we remain committed to God, just think of what He can do with us.